to two passages. I always like for you to turn to two passages of Scripture so you can start learning where the books of the Bible are at. And we're going to look at one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. So we're going to turn to Judges chapter 15 and Romans chapter 12. And you see my title today is Don't Tie Up the Foxes. Look at somebody and say, Don't Tie Up the Foxes. This is going to make sense as we go along, all right? You might be like, what, Pastor Mark, what in the world kind of title is that? Is that even in the Bible? It is. It's in the Bible. And I was studying this week, that's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Mark, whenever you have the opportunity to do what I'm going to talk about today, you got to remember, don't tie up the foxes. So we're going to say that a lot today. You're going to leave here knowing that phrase and why the Holy Spirit is saying that phrase to every one of us. So look at somebody and say, don't tie up the foxes. All right. Tell you how this came about. Sunday after church, was looking through some stories in the Bible. I hope you're reading your Bible, but there are some unbelievable stories in the Bible. When you really look at the Bible for what it is, there's Jonah. I'm just going to pick out a few. There's Jonah and the big fish, which we think it was a whale. Balaam and the talking donkey, which is in Numbers chapter 22, I believe. The donkey actually talked to Balaam. God opened its mouth. Peter finds a coin in the fish's mouth to pay his taxes. I'm looking for that coin right now, by the way. I'm needing that miracle myself. And that was, I believe, in Matthew chapter 17. And I was looking at all those stories, and here's what I want to tell all of us. When you come across those kind of stories and you stop, because I've done it myself, and you're like, my gosh, that is, God, that is unbelievable. But I know it's true because it's in your word. And when that happens, anytime you read a story in the Bible and you say, God, I can't believe that, then you need to read it again, and you need to read it again, and you need to read it again, because there's a message that the Lord is trying to tell you in it. Amen? All right, so now I want you to turn to Judges chapter 15 and Romans 12. I'm going to show you a story. We'll get there in just a second. I got a few more things to say before we get there, because when we read this story, you're going to say, Pastor Mark, that's unbelievable. Well, it actually happened, or it wouldn't be in the Word of God. And so who I'm talking to today, I'm going to go ahead and tell you who I'm talking to today. I'm talking to people today who have been wronged, who have been hurt, who have been betrayed, who have been lied to, who have been stolen from. Do I need to go on? Did I hit everybody in the room? I think I've got everybody here. All right. If you've got breath in your lungs and you're living, you've probably went through one of those things or more than one. I have too. And guess what? As a pastor, I've even went through them in church with Christians. Okay? And here's because we were all created in the image of God, there's something on the inside of us that we want to get justice, because God is a just God, and He put that in every one of us. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you my big thing up front. God, that's God's job, not yours. I'm just going to say that right now. Remember that. That's God's job, not yours. Even though He put that in you, and He's a just God, and we want justice to be served, that's His job, not yours. I don't know if you're like me, but there's times I've wanted to turn into a spiritual Batman and bring justice. Put on my Batman suit, and I just want to bring justice. Because I know God's heart. He's a just God, and God, just let me do it. I can take care of it. I can do your job. And God, I think I can do your job better than you can. No, okay? I've done that before. I've even said that before, even thought that before. And so here's what the Lord is saying to us today. I am your avenger. I'm your superhero today. But you're going to have to get out of the way and let Him do it. And He says, I will repay. But it will be, listen to this, but it will be in my timing, and it will be just, and it will be holy, and it will be pure, and it will be sure. Yeah, and your hands aren't dirty. Yeah, because I've often asked God, can I get even without getting in trouble? He's like, no, Mark, that's not your job. That's my job. And this goes, this wasn't a part of the series that I put it together. This isn't a part of the series that I was doing on fighting the good fight of faith, but it goes with it. So this is like the Lord broke in this week and said, Mark, this is part of this. If you're going to fight the good fight of faith, you've got to realize this scripture that you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against other believers. You're not even fighting against unbelievers. All right? It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And I'm going to even tell you this. Even as a Christian, even as a believer, you can open yourself up to the enemy and be used of the enemy if you've got some hurts in your life. And I don't want to be that person. Amen? And so, but I just want you all to know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, and we have to remember that. All right, let's get to Judges 15, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And this is a story about Samson, and when I read this, I was like, God, this is unbelievable. And he said, well, Mark, believe it, because it really happened. And so let's get into this. Verse 1, Judges 15. Later on, at the time of wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. And he said, I'm going to my wife's room, but her father would not let him go in. And I was sure you hated her, he said, that I gave her to your companion. Uh-oh, here we go, soap opera. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them for what they've just done. So he went out, and I get this, so he went out and he caught 300 foxes. Everybody say 300 foxes. He caught 300 foxes, and he tied them tail to tail in pairs. He then fastened a torch to every pair of tails. Yeah, this really happened. He lit the torches and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and the standing grain together with the vineyards and olive groves. And when the Philistines asked, who did this? They were told, Samson, the Timite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his companion. You talk about Samson being upset. He didn't just go catch a few foxes. Okay, y'all getting this? 300 foxes. And he ties them tail to tail and then lights them on fire, their tails. Okay, and then he sets them. And I was like, I got to find a picture of this, right? You know, I was like, Google a picture, like there's going to be one. All right, from back in Samson's day in Judges chapter 15. This is the best I can give you what that kind of looked like. All right. These foxes are tied together with this stick in between their tails. It's lit on fire, and they're going through all their wheat fields, all their fields, and burning up their whole harvest. All right, everybody got that picture? Look at somebody say there were 300 foxes. Now tell them, don't tie up the foxes. All right, this is all going somewhere, I promise. So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. That's revenge. Just keeps, you know, when you're going tit for tat, look what happened here, how far it goes. Revenge, it started in revenge and getting even. It ends in murder. So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. And Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I swear that I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. And you can go on and read the rest of this. And that Samson, his whole life was about trying to get even with the Philistines and just one revenge after another, one heartache after another, one setback after another. Here's the definition of revenge. The act of retaliating for wrongs or injury received, vengeance, something done as a means of vengeance, the desire to take vengeance or retaliate. And when I was thinking about this, it's one thing when somebody that you don't know, just somebody out in the world, you know, that you does something to you, that's one thing. But when it's a family member, when it's your blood, when it's church family, that hurts. That hurts. It hurts a lot. And I was like, okay, God. And this week, when God started speaking this to me this Sunday, I cannot tell you the story. This week I've had the trifecta as a pastor. I did a funeral on Monday. I did a wedding last night, and now I'm at church giving you this message. So that's the trifecta as a pastor when you have a week like that. And I have heard stories from people this week, them not knowing what I was going to be ministering today, but I've heard stories this week from things that are happening in families that I'd go back and study, and I was like, God, what, and pray, and like, God, as a pastor, what do I tell them in this situation? Because I want to get justice for them. I mean, they have totally been wronged, and it was family and church family doing this. And it was just really, and so I feel like the Lord has given me some things to tell us all today, because in your life, you're going to have the opportunity given to you where you can take revenge and justice in your own hands. And what the Holy Spirit is telling every one of us, don't tie up the foxes. Don't tie up the foxes. All right, now we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's teaching the Roman church. He's teaching us as well. He says, this is what he tells us. And then we're going to go through this verse by verse, this teaching that he gave the Roman church. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, now if you're taking notes this morning, you can take notes there on the back of your bulletin. I'm going to give you five things that I believe that's going to help us. And I just want you to say, Holy Spirit, speak to me right now. You say it out loud under your breath. Holy Spirit, speak to me through your word. Okay, this is number one, why we should not seek revenge. Why God tells us, even though God put this, we're created in the image of God, even though God put it inside of us that we want, you know, justice to be served, he tells us specifically in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, he says, that's not your job, that's my job. You get out of my way, okay? And number one is this reason right here. If it's left to us, revenge perpetuates the cycle of pain. So you saw that, and it led from revenge to murder. It just keeps, you know, well, you did that to me. Well, by gosh, I'm going to one-up you, and I'm going to do this to you. And then it just keeps going one-up, 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 one-up. And it can actually lead to murder, what we just saw in Scripture. Everybody get that? Okay, look back at verse 17. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. All right, now look at this, talking about eyes. I found this quote, and I thought it was so good. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. And we just can't do that, guys. There's some of you here that are, best way I can say this, you was hurt 20 years ago, and it's still controlling you today. And with all the love and compassion that I can tell you as a pastor today, I'm going to tell you, get on with your life. Let it go. And get on with your life. Amen. It's not worth it. It'll just eat you up. And I'm not saying you miss heaven, but you just miss out on all the blessings of life because you're stuck in a rut of something that happened to you 20 years ago. And you just keep living and rehearsing and nursing that your whole life. Stop it. Look at somebody say, stop it. Get on with your life. Okay. All right. Leviticus 19:18. This is in the Old Testament under the laws of God. And he says this back in the book of Leviticus, and it's the one that we all skip over in our Bible reading plans. But there's a law in there, the laws of God, and it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And I know, when I read that, I was like, but God, you don't know what they did to me. And he was like, Mark, what does my word say? Yep, we got to submit. There comes a time where you have to submit to the word of God, not to the word of Mark. Amen? All right. So here's number two, why we should not seek revenge. Number two, and this is, I'm going to spend a little time here on this one. Number two, because I've ran into this as a pastor myself personally, not as a pastor, but just as a Christian. And I've had other people that I've had to minister to about this. Forgiveness doesn't require reconnection. I'm going to say that again. Number two, forgiveness doesn't require reconnection. I'm going to even say this, even in family. You can forgive and not reconnect. Okay? It's always more beautiful when we can reconnect. God does want us to reconcile, but there's two wills involved. Right? Two wills. This is in verse 18. Verse 18 says, the Apostle Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I'm gonna tell two stories right here on myself. Is I had somebody that had wronged me and hurt me, and I wanted to go see them before they passed away. And I was like, God, I want to go see them. I want to talk to them, and I want to make things right because I'm concerned about them. But I want to make sure, you know, my heart's right. And I prayed about it and was really, in deep prayer about it. But I also told the Lord this because my last conversation with this person was not good. And I said, but here's the deal, Lord. And I'm just going to tell you, like, I have these kind of conversations with the Lord. I said, Lord, but here's the deal. If it's not going to go reconcile, I don't want to go. If it can't be reconstructed or this reconnected, God, I don't want to go because I am not going to take another butt chewing. And that's exactly what I told the Lord. But I'm have my heart prepared and I'm going. And the day that I was going, the Lord stopped me. And I'm not going to go into all the details how he stopped me, but God stopped me and said and shared this, Mark, I see your heart, and forgiveness doesn't require reconnection. It's all good. Another time I had somebody in church. Can you believe this stuff happens in church? Had somebody in church, this was years ago, wrong me. And if I told you the whole story, you'd have said, you'd be jumping on my bandwagon with me, I promise you. Okay? Wrong me really bad. And it really hurt. And to the point, guys, I was like, I cannot believe that this even happened. That kind of hurt, right? And they left and went on their way. And later, it was several years later, there was a time where me and this person got back together, and I thought maybe we can reconnect, you know. And I was hoping that they were going to say that they were sorry. Everybody had one of those deals where you just hope that they're, that was never said. And during our course of our conversation, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, Mark, you have forgiven, you've moved on, but you're not going to reconnect in this relationship. And when I had this conversation, some of you will understand this when I say this, but when I was having the conversation with this individual, I could tell that they hadn't grown any in God and they hadn't changed any at all. In fact, if I could tell you the truth, they probably regressed a little bit. And it bothered me because I really love this person. And I was like, and sometimes we get over, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes we get over in this deal, I want to help God out, get them right, okay? And God's like, Mark, I don't need your help. You know, well, God, you know, if you help us to reconnect, I can be your spokesman. I can do it well. God's like, no, Mark, I don't need your help. And during that time when I was praying about it, a good friend of mine, who was also praying for this person that I knew, he said, Mark, God gave me a vision about this person, and I just want to submit it to you. And he said, I saw this person, their life was going to take many turns, and it was one turn out, kind of like the children of Israel in the wilderness, you know, just wandering all over the place, just going all over the place because they're making wrong decisions and all this. But in the end, they make it. And that really spoke to me because the Lord said, Mark, you can forgive, and it doesn't require you to reconnect, and I can take care of them. You just got to trust me. All right? Those are a couple stories from my own life that I just want to, and I pray that that speaks to you. But when the Apostle Paul said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, I found this scripture about the Apostle Paul. I'm just going to read it to you. It's in 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 through 15. He says, Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. Doesn't tell us what he did. It says, the Lord will repay him for what he has done. you too, and he's telling Timothy this, you too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. So even the Apostle Paul, I can forgive a guy, but I don't have to reconnect with him. I don't have to connect with him. Everybody seeing that? Because a lot of Christians think, well, as a Christian, I just got to be a doormat and just let people walk all over me and just forgive them all the time. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can forgive and not have that reconnection. Amen? All right. Now, when I was preparing this, because I had another story, I had this already prepared, then I had to go back into my message and insert this one. Because I had a story given to me this week, and I was like, oh, my gosh. God, I can't take anymore. Give this message to somebody else. That's kind of how I was getting. And this came up. Can a Christian sue? Can a Christian sue? Now, I'm going to talk about this for just a little. And I found a guy praying about can a Christian sue. And I think that here's the deal. What I'm going to tell you right now is you need to definitely pray about it. Don't go off all emotional and all this kind of stuff. You need to get counsel from people around you, good counsel. But you also, the first thing you need to do is go to prayer about it, okay? Now, here's the deal, and I'm just going to read this to you. The Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that's where a lot of people go to when they talk about lawsuits. I don't have time to get into all this. I'm just writing these scriptures up here so you can read them for yourselves later. But the Bible does not forbid lawsuits. And when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you need to read it in context. In fact, our judicial system is based on Judeo-Christian principles. James Madison proposed the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, including freedom of religion and right to trial by jury in all civil cases in excess of $25. But here's what the Bible discourages. So this is what you've got to make sure that your motives are right and pure. The Bible discourages selfish, false, or vengeful motivations and provides direction while encouraging stewardship. And I gave you all the scriptures there. I'll send these notes to anybody. But there's something that you need to pray about. And in this situation that I'm thinking about that was given to me today, it was amongst family. It was amongst family. And I'm going to tell you right now, according to the Word of God and according to the scripture that I just give you, all these scriptures, they have a right to sue. And it's in their own family. And that's sad. It's real quiet today, isn't it? Real quiet. This is stuff we need to know, though, guys. And these are things that we need to know, and especially in these last days. And I believe in this next slide here is, I think we're going to start seeing more of this in the last days. But in the Bible, if you have a dispute against another Christian, you first go to them and try to resolve the matter. And after following the steps of Matthew 18, you may treat the other individual as a pagan, not a Christian, because their actions have shown them not to be Christians. Go read that for yourself, okay? I'll give you another one that I hadn't put in the scripture. And this is New Testament. This isn't the Old Testament. In the New Testament, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to God and they went before the church as a court, okay, as a court, the Bible says, read this in the book of Acts, they lied to God about their giving and they died in church. That's New Testament. Can you imagine how quick people would get right with God and tell the truth when you heard about that story? And the Bible says that great fear fell on all the people. I bet it did. It's like, we better get right with God. We better tell the truth. That's in the Bible, and that's New Testament. And I believe in these last days, because we've seen how corrupt our judicial system is becoming, I think the judicial system is going to go back to the church where it belongs. And the church will start judging some things. I think we'll see that, some of that, in these last days. Ooh, okay, here's number three. Number three, why we should not seek revenge. Number three, and this is what I've been trying to tell all of us today, and it's in verse 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Number three, this is New Testament, what I'm telling you. Justice is God's job, not ours. That's number three. Justice is God's job, not ours. And we all like, you know, I love this. I love coming to church and talking about mercy, love, and grace. And I'm going to tell you, that's part of the road. The other part of the road is the judgment of God. And we don't hear that a whole lot. And thank God for God's mercy, love, and forgiveness and all those things. But guys, there's going to be a day when the mercy runs out. And there's going to be judgment. We're in a time of the dispensation of grace and the mercy of God. This is the day to get right with God. Amen? All right. So I want us to understand, see this, and God is merciful beyond our understanding, and God is His justice is beyond our understanding as well, because His justice is pure and holy. So here's the thing, though, that guys, we got to remember, and you might write this down in number three, is justice is God's job, not ours, and it's going to be in His timing, and it's going to be in His ways. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Some of the things you want to see, I want to see some things done, God, today. I want to see some things done next week. I want to see some things done at our next election. I'm just telling the things that's on my heart. I want to see some of this, some of this, some of this. And God's like, Mark, what if it don't happen? Do you still trust me? Because it's going to happen in my timing, in my ways. And here's some of God's timing. God's not on our timetable. So some of His timing is going to be justice will happen in eternity. It won't even happen here. Sometimes it happens here. Sometimes it's going to happen in eternity, and that's His timing and His ways on how He's going to take care of everything. But right now, God's been merciful with everyone, including us, that we would repent. Thank God for His mercy, amen? Thank God for His long-suffering, too, because He's way more long-suffering than I am with some situations. Deuteronomy 30, because there's just been times I'm like, God, are you that long-suffering? And then God's like, Mark, I was with you. Okay, I'm sorry, Lord, but forgive me. Yeah. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. And if you go jump down to verse 35 in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. In due time their foot will slip, their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them. God says, I'm your avenger, not you. I don't need you to be my spiritual Batman. Amen? All right. Luke chapter 9, verses 53 through 56 is another one where God tells them, I feel for them. I love James and John because they were called the sons of thunder, and I'm kind of like them, in some of my thought processes. And I love this. It says, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, who were called the sons of thunder, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Don't you just love those guys? I just love that. And Jesus turned. He says, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you're of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So that Jesus' heart. And that leads me to number four, why we should not seek revenge. And number four is WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that's in verse 20. And it says this, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And so this goes back to what Jesus taught on the in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 44 on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I heard one pastor say one time, he said, I was reading that when the Lord was telling me to turn my cheeks. And he said, Lord, I've only got four. Some of you will get that at lunch today, okay? But, I like, amen, that's good. But God wants us, he's saying, this is what Jesus would do. Jesus actually did this, and I'm going to show you that here in just a little bit. Mercy always triumphs over judgment. And everybody said, amen. This is what Jesus is asking us to do as his followers. He's asking us to give up revenge altogether. He asks us to not focus on an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, because what it's going to do to you is just make you lose sleep and everything else. But instead calls us to respond in a different way. One that requires, listen to this, prayer, thought, and creativity. If you'll submit it to God, God will show you things to do. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. You'll actually be able to lead them to Christ, is what I believe that's saying. You know, if you'll respond like Jesus would, you'd make them... If you'd respond like Jesus would, I think we could, if we would, instead of responding like I would, we could open up their eyes to the Lord. Because he's going to give you thought and creativity on how to minister to them. And as followers of Christ, we're called to do things a little bit differently than the rest of the world. Have you ever figured that out yet? We're supposed to be a little bit different than the world. And not just a little bit, but a whole lot different. There was one time where I was in a situation where, and this is when I was pastoring in Elk City, was on staff at a church in Elk City, and I got called to get on jury duty. Don't you just love when that happens? And I go in this room, and this is what I thought. I go in this room, there's probably close to 100 people, I think, in this room. And I was like, surely to God, I'm not going to get picked. I'm going to get to go home today. Guess what? Out of all the 100, I'm one of the 12, and I get to stay there for days and do all this, and was doing my civic duty and all this, and during this process, we were prosecuting a guy who had been trafficking drugs through Beckham County. And during this process, we're all 12 of us are up there in the jury, and we're listening to the lawyers go back and forth, and one of the lawyers was really, when he was the prosecuting him, this guy on the stand, he broke, and he started weeping. And it was sincere. It wasn't fake. It wasn't like, I'm trying to get out of this. He broke. And he began to tell a story how I didn't sign up for this. I got in this line of work because I'm just trying to provide for my own personal family. And I know it's wrong, but that's how I got into this. And this attorney was pressing him for names up the food chain, so to speak. And he said, if I tell you any name, they're going to kill my wife and my children. And this attorney said, well, I think you ought to have thought about that before you got in this line of work, right? Well, of course, you know. I mean, just stating the obvious. And I was sitting there, and of course, my mercy gift was kicking in. And I was like, this guy, you know, he's telling the truth. I mean, he's been sincere. And so then we had to adjourn the 12, and we go into a room to deliver the verdict. And we had something to choose, and one of them was a real strong one, and one of them was more lenient, but it was still pretty strong. And we're in this room, and we're going around the table. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was really shocked how people respond in that situation. And... People couldn't just see it for that guy. They had to bring a lot of other stuff into it, stuff from their past, all kinds of stuff. We're going around the room, and there was a strong consensus in the room that to throw the book at him, all this stuff. One guy was saying, I mean, there was one guy, he got off the jury by saying, I think we need to hang him and kill him. It was like, okay, you can go home, sir. You know, he was, and I don't know if he just did that to get out of serving on the jury or what, but I mean, just this, that kind of strong response. And even during that, even after we settled on the 12 and we're in this room, they were wanting to throw the book at him, and they were just, there was a lot of mean, I can't just describe the atmosphere in there, because everybody felt like they had power and were the judge, then let's just be mean and ugly. And I'm sitting there thinking about this guy's testimony and how he repented in front of all of us, and I really felt in my heart that he was sincere. And it was coming around. I wasn't the spokesman for our group, but every one of us had the guy that was the spokesman said, okay, we're going to go around the room, and I want everyone to speak into this, what you feel is in your heart. So we go around the room, and while they're going around the room, I'm praying in the spirit underneath my breath, and I'm saying, Lord, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word, because this isn't good for this guy, the way this is all going down. And I don't feel right in my spirit, man, about this. And I'm like, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. And the Holy Spirit is so good, because I hadn't read this scripture It's in the book of James. But immediately the Holy Spirit dropped in my deal and he said, I want you to tell them that mercy triumphs over judgment. That's all I want you to say. Okay, here's the preacher in me, okay? I wanted to stand up and go, thus saith the Lord. And God said, no, don't do that. don't do that. Even though it's my word, don't do that. And so it came around to me, and God, the Holy Spirit is so good, he gave me a way to package it. And it came around to me, and I said, I remember this so clearly to this day. This is how the Lord showed me to say. He said, Mark, just say this. There was a person one time that told me that if I was ever placed in a situation where I could judge somebody, and I'm in that situation today, that I always needed to fall on the side of mercy. And you could hear a pin drop in there. And because the consensus at that time, they was going to give him the big sentence, and then we was able to open up a whole other conversation just from that one little sentence, and that wasn't me, that was him. And out of that one little sentence, and we were able to say, we're going to give him the lesser sentence than the stronger one. And when I went home that night, I felt like I could lay my head down at night knowing that, you know, we did something right in the eyes of God. Because there is, God set up a judicial system in our laws of the land, and we have to obey by them. Amen? And so if you're ever put in that situation, just remember God showed mercy to you. And mercy always triumphs over judgment. Amen? All right, and we're not the judge. He is. All right, here's number five. Number five, why we should not seek revenge. Number five, you've got to remember this. This is where trusting in God comes into play. God can turn a wrong into a right, and he can turn evil into good if you will let him do it and if you'll get out of his way. That's in verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I could go around the room. I know some people's stories in this room, and I could go around the room where I've seen this as your pastor, that you got out of his way, and you let him do it, and he turned a wrong into a right, and he turned what was evil into good. I love, and this scripture right here, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I'm going to give you two stories in the Bible of men of God that allowed this to happen, and this is in Genesis 50, verses 18 through 20. Remember the story of Joseph? His brother sold him into slavery. Now Joseph is second in command to Pharaoh. That would be the time that you could get revenge on your brothers, wouldn't it? I mean, he could do it. But Joseph says his brothers then came and threw themselves down before him, just like he had saw in his dream when he was younger. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. And here it is, guys. Am I in the place of God? I am not the judge here. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Yes. Yeah, love that. Because Joseph was walking in forgiveness towards his brothers. He kept his heart right. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 12. The reason why you see where in the Bible, and David was messed up. He had an affair. He had a man murdered. He had all this, but the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And the reason why he was a man after God's own heart, one of the reasons why was because he didn't seek his own revenge against Saul, King Saul. In 1 Samuel 24, verse 12, it says, may the Lord judge between you and me, he's telling Saul this, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. And there were several times, if you study this story of David and Saul, he could have killed Saul himself, and he didn't do it. And God saw his heart, and God saw this. And you know who we talk about? We talk about King David and not King Saul in the body of Christ because of David's heart. The ultimate one is King Jesus. I wanted to get to where he's at. I'm not there. I'm just going to be honest with you. But this scripture, every Easter when I read it, it just gets me. Hits me right here. He's hanging on the cross when he says this. His disciples have left him. Judas betrayed him. Disciples are not there. They're hurling all kinds of insults at him. They're saying, if you're the Son of God, you know, command the angels, you know, come down from there and all this. and Jesus is hearing all these insults and all this stuff, knowing that he is the Son of God, that I can call down a if I want revenge, I can call down a legion of angels and I can just wipe this whole thing out and we can just start all over, Father. But this is what he says. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And I'm going to tell you guys, the sweetest revenge is to forgive. And it's beautiful when there's reconciliation. But I'm going to tell you this today, what I told you, forgiveness doesn't require reconnection. But the sweetest revenge in your own heart is to forgive. 1 Corinthians, last scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, love, one of the things about love, it says, love is not provoked. And what that means is, a lot of times we just read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and we're just like, oh, Paul, you're just so awesome, you know, so poetic and all this. And we don't go into what the Holy Spirit was revealing to him about love, because love, you're never more like God than when you're walking in love, because God is love. And it says, love is not provoked. And what that means is, in the Greek, provoked means pick and poke. And so when I'm picked and poked by somebody else, when I'm hurt, when I'm wronged, when I'm lied to, when I'm stolen from, when I'm picked and poked, what comes out of Mark Haney? Is it love or is it the venom of revenge and vengeance? I want love to come out. And I can tell you, when I've been picked and poked, I'm just like, come on, God, give me my spiritual Batman suit. Let's go to work, you know. And he's like, Mark, I don't need you. I'll take care of it in my timing. And it might be after this earth is all gone. It might be in eternity when I take care of it. But I need you to start walking in love. And it's an act of the will, guys, to choose to do this. And when you act that, when you choose it, then the Holy Spirit will show up and help you and empower you to do it. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do this. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. So look at somebody and say, don't tie up the foxes. So anytime that you feel that I'm wronged, I'm hurt, I've been lied to, been stolen from, all these kind of things, and you have that in you, that justice comes up in you, but you're like, but I want to get revenge, I pray to God you're going to remember the story of Samson in Judges chapter 15, and you're going to hear my voice in your head, my voice, saying, don't tie up the foxes, this phrase. Actually hearing his voice. Don't tie up the foxes, because it's not going to go well with you. Because it does more damage to us, guys. It really does. I mean, psychologists, my daughter is a child, psychology will tell you this. It does more damage to you internally, mentally, emotionally, even physically. Can cause health problems when you're just sitting around stewing on something to get revenge. Let it go, like that song says. Let it go. Amen? All right. Don't tie up the foxes. Look at somebody and say that one more time. Did everybody learn something today? Amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to make sure that everybody hearing the sound of my voice and those that are watching online, those that will be listening to this on the radio, I just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's very simple. There's just a very simple prayer of the prayer of salvation, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer, and even if you are saved, I want to lead you. I want you to repeat this prayer with them, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here. And if that's the first time that you have prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that next Sunday. Just let me know. And Jada, will you come up here? And I want you guys to join hands with your family there. And we're going to speak this blessing over everyone here today. I'm going to bless you as you go out. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and tell them again, don't tie up the foxes. Amen.